Here I am with Soch Pitar again. This is Nadeemul Haq. Always trying to learn and catch up with the world, which runs ahead of me. Today, I'm going to do a subject which I have absolutely no knowledge of. We're going to talk about telecom, telecommunication, mobile world, and how it affects us and the economy. I've got a very able entrepreneur, telecommunication engineer, telecommunication expert, Mr. Parvez Iftikhar. Parvez Saab, can I get you to first introduce yourself a little so that the audience knows you?
Jee, thank you very much, Nadeem Saab. I am an electrical engineer. I've worked in private sector most of the time. I ended my career as a country head of Siemens Telecom. Mm-hmm. That was 2007. Because there was nothing else for me anymore, and they wanted me to go abroad. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to stay in Pakistan. And as luck would have it, during those times, during those days, the government was setting up a company, a not-for-profit company, for delivering or helping deliver telecommunication services to those areas where the private sector telecom operators don't go because they don't find a business case. So that was known as Universal Service Fund. It's a fund where the operators, all telecom operators, contribute 1.5% of the revenue. And with that money in the kitty, the USF company was supposed to, you know, identify the areas where services are not there and the government would like to do, like to have the services there, and make projects, hold auctions for the bids, for the subsidy that they would give, and monitor the progress of the projects and all that, and in the end give them the money as subsidy. So that company was being formed. I was, after passing through a series of interviews, I was selected as the CEO and the first employee of that company.
Okay.
So I had a good opportunity of raising this company from.
But did the company succeed?
Yes, it is supposed to be a successful model. In fact, it succeeded so well that when I was out of USF, I immediately started getting my offers for consultancies in other countries.
Not bad.
So that's what I'm doing right now. I have continued with that. And 2012 was the year when I started this.
So Parvez Saab, tell me, they tell me that Pakistan is a very successful mobile revolution country. That you had a very successful mobile experience. Would you agree with that?
Was. I will put
that. Was?
Yeah.
Not anymore?
No. I will put that in past tense. Others have gotten ahead of us in the meanwhile. Till 2008, Pakistan was ahead of all the regional countries in terms of tele-density. The mobile revolution was there. And slowly, after that, we slowly started losing momentum. And right
so
now...
So, tele-density, you mean the number of telephones per person or per...
Per 100 persons.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
And that has not that increased much?
Not only that, it did not increase. The other countries moved ahead. They went to 3G, for example, which we should have gone in 2008. We held that auction of frequencies in 2014. So we were 6 years behind already. And of course, the good thing was we started 4G as well, because that was the time for 4G. So the problem is with us that number one, we are lag behind in tele density. And number two, people having gotten this head start in the data revolution, mobile data, because 3G and 4G are mobile data.
Yeah.
2G was only voice. So they went ahead of us. In fact, even Afghanistan, you know, started 3G before us. So, okay, we are catching up pretty fast, but I would not say that we are ahead
so
of
now
everybody
else. Where do we stand in terms of telecommunications? Okay, we've got 4G.
Yeah.
We've got a huge amount of population that has telephones,
yeah.
Mobile phones.
Yeah.
What do you expect? Where should we be vis-a-vis the mobile or the telecommunication revolution? Should we put internet in it, for example? I find the internet pretty poor. Not very good.
When I say 3G, 4G, I mean internet.
Okay.
Yeah. That is data, and data is internet. And with internet, we can do so many other things that we are now trying to do, of course, but better late than never. But at least we are trying. We are Because with the internet, you actually empower people. You actually give them the services like you know, education and health and agriculture, and you help them in everything. So they sort of become more productive. They get these all these services which they cannot get otherwise. For example, a farmer can know from the internet which part of his field is getting less water, or which part of his field, and this is, by the way, coming from the satellite pictures. So with 3G, 4G, all this becomes possible, whereas with 2G, of course, it was not. So we have to move ahead in this direction, help people with their, whatever they are doing, with the internet, and provide them whatever information is there out there.
No, but think about it. Our mobile policy, is that good or bad? I mean, I feel that from what I've heard, our mobile policy is fairly good. Our prices, as an economist, I can see prices are very good, very competitive. Entry into the market, I think, is not bad, although the market is consolidating a little. But I think prices are reasonable. We've got a lot of mobile phones, different variety in the market.
Yeah.
And we've got a large number of providers.
Yeah.
I think we've got 4 or 5 providers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you satisfied or
no,
you not?
No. Because, you see, when you have reached this stage, what the other countries have been doing or have done is that they have started concentrating on the demand side. Now, what we're talking about is supply side still. Even in supply side, we have a couple of things missing. One is that all this progress and all this development that you see is mainly concentrated in the cities. So rural areas and where 60% of the population lives, unfortunately, are quite deprived of this. That you don't have such good 4G if you go a little bit away from the main cities. And for that, we need to have fiber optics up to the towers, you know, not up to the homes. Of course, homes would be ideal, but let's not ask for that in a country of middle income, even less. Number one is that. Number two, from the tower to your phone, what is required is frequency, spectrum. And the spectrum that has been released so far by the government is too less. So the government has been, you know, keeping the spectrum to itself, not putting it out in the market, with the thinking, as far as I know, I may be wrong, that let the price go up and then we will, you know.
Okay, so they're trying to maximize the revenue from the
service. Instead of having the, you know, having it out there and getting the benefit of the, giving benefit to the economy, they have been concentrating on that short-term gain, in my opinion. So that is the supply side. And then the demand side. Demand side, we need, for example, we need content. Now, you must have seen it in YouTube and all this, a huge amount of content. But not in our local languages, not locally made. If you want to tell a kisan how to, you know, do this or that, you have to have local content for that. And in local language, in regional language, not in Urdu or Punjabi, but even more dialects, so that he can understand easily. And then you have to have more smartphone penetration, because all these things that you want this farmer to know, for example, you want to show him a video, and that video is possible only on smartphone. It's not possible on normal phone. So you need to have low prices smartphone, because smartphone is a barrier right now, entry barrier for
a lot of smartphone prices. Come down a lot. I thought these Chinese smartphones were available for 5,000-6,000 rupees.
Okay, 5,000-6,000 is something, you see, already. So in countries like ours, there are even countries like, I mean, who are better than ours, like Malaysia, for example, they are subsidizing smartphones, even tablets and PCs and laptops. So in order to get the full benefit of what we have, what we can have, we have to concentrate not just here. And of course, then education. I mean, education is something which is not just digitizing the textbooks. It is converting that into something which is easily understood.
But Professor, look, the point is that in terms of policy, I think the government has done all it can. They can do very little. I mean, the rest of it is development. I mean, education is a part of development. You know, getting the farmer educated or whatever, that's part of development. I think in terms of mobile policy or telecommunication policy, would you agree that our policies are fairly good, or what kind of changes would you want in those?
Well, as I said earlier, policy is okay, you can say. but it's the implementation. For example, as I said, the spectrum should be more out there.
Spectrum, that's a good point.
The optic fibers, we have to roll out more.
No, but optic fibers, I don't know.
India, for example, just give me an example. They are connecting 250,000 gram panchayat, as they call it, which is equivalent to our union council. 250,000 gram panchayats with optic fiber cables. And they are ensuring that each village will have 100 MB speed. So this program is well underway. It's more than 50% complete.
India is going to get every village 100 megabytes.
The gram panchayat is a cluster of villages. So maybe four or five villages. So
could it be just like a district or something?
Union council.
Union council. But union council is not that big. Union council is very small.
It's four or five villages. So if I mean that is something which we should aspire.
I'm
for,
not so sure. I don't. I really don't think that we should try and connect every village. I think we have. Let me argue this with you. We have too much rural worshipping in this country. I mean, I quite frankly think development happens in cities, and we don't have to worry about rural areas because people who live in rural areas are consuming the leisure of being in a rural place. They're definitely going to be not as productive or active as others. And if you spend a lot of time communicating them, like we've, like connecting them, like we've spent a lot of time connecting roads to them. Now, some of those roads are not doing that great. We built roads everywhere. We are probably the most over-networked country in the world as far as roads are concerned. Got very good roads going everywhere. But roads are not adding to our productivity. They're not adding to our growth.
But internet does. You see, when you teach a farmer the modern methods of doing the what he has been doing for centuries and he's continuing doing the same way, productivity increases.
But farming is a declining business.
Well, we still have to feed ourselves.
No, agree, but farming is a
and we rely a lot, cotton, rice, and all that, you know, we rely on our exports.
But that's still a part of development. Anyway, that's still a part of development policy, so I agree with you. But let's talk about the mobile policy. I mean, okay, you said the other thing you said was content. But content is not something that the government can develop. Content has to be developed by the private sector, by individuals like you and me.
Now, okay.
How can, like, we are doing the podcast, we are creating content right now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how can the government facilitate creating content apart from giving subsidies? Problem with subsidies, the government has no money to give subsidies.
No. What the government does is, and again, we have to look at the other countries who are already doing it. The agricultural ministries, for example, they create content, you know, and the education and the healthcare and everybody else. So they are creating content for themselves. So IT ministries are, of course, helping them and whatever help they need. But they, but what happens is, most in most of our countries, the these ministries are not aware. They are not even, you know, fully aware of what is going on, what they are able to do, what they can do. So, and they don't normally listen to IT ministry. The IT ministry is a junior ministry, you know. You don't listen to them. So what people have done is, and in again, India, Malaysia, Indonesia, so many of the countries, that they put the prime minister or the head of the country or head of the government top.
Okay.
You know, and they make a big kind of a, you know, a consortium of ministries and all. And he's the one who is, you know, at least there to make sure that things happen. Okay. So IT is cross-cutting, you know, it is not affecting everything.
Right.
So therefore, you have to have somebody who will be listened to.
Okay. So that's fine. Now tell me in another direction. Right now, how are we using mobile phones? If you recall, we met at the Jazz conference the other day, where you were moderating a panel in which I was. And I asked people there to tell us how many of them even know of the existence of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I was very dismayed to see that we had an IT crowd there.
Yes.
And not even 20% knew what a podcast was. Yeah. So, despite the fact that we've got these things, are we using them well? Are we just using them for Facebook and, you know, WhatsApp?
That's exactly the point. Because, I mean, we, of course, are... Okay, I come from the technical background, so I'm using it a lot. You're also using
my point is
you're creating content.
We're talking about the country. Yeah.
A lot of people, other people, who can use it, who should use it, there is nothing for them to use it. They are very happy to listening to Bollywood music, musicals and, you know, all that. But... the content for even to teach a plumber, you can find videos in English language on YouTube where a number can then...
We were in the middle of a crowd.
Yes.
Highly educated, right? Actually involved in telecommunication, actually involved in startups. Now, if those guys, they're supposed to be the beneficiaries of the society, the people who are privileged.
Yeah.
If those guys are not tuned into podcasts as a learning device, and if they only listen to mujras on YouTube, then I'm afraid we are not at par with the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world, people are using YouTube as a learning tool. Exactly. People are using podcasts as a learning tool.
Yeah.
And people are doing this almost on a daily basis. And if our people are not doing it, I'm a little worried. I'm not worried about the kisan or the plumber. He's still underprivileged. The privileged part of society, which should lead.
Maybe podcast is not a good example. But you see, I can tell you my
YouTube. Okay, if I ask for YouTube, you think people would be using YouTube?
My driver, he, I had this car charger fixed in the car, and I left it there. And whenever I used to sit in the car, I used to plug it in so that the phone charges. Now its wire was breaking from one place, you know, where it goes and connects the plug. And what he did was he took a spring from a ballpoint pen, you know, inside there's a spring, and he, you know, put that wire somehow in it, and so that it doesn't turn anymore. So it's instead of a turn, it's a curve. Now I asked him, where did you get this idea from? He said, YouTube.
Good.
He's a 3 classes, he says he studied. So what I'm saying is, people learn if they're interested in. You're right, absolutely. A lot of people don't learn whatever there is, but there are people who learn. Once my wife went to a tailor. She has a tailor who's, you know, semi-literate type of it, in the basement in F10, and she showed him a picture on a mobile phone and said, can you make me this kind of a gala? And he said, Bhaji, aapke paas Bluetooth hai. So, and she didn't know, and he knew what Bluetooth was, and he could transfer the picture.
Good.
So you see, people learn. I mean, if they are given this facility and this feature, and if they are taught, of course,
okay.
You have
so
to
now
teach
that,
them.
Now that we have mobile phone penetration, which is very good, I must say, we must be very proud of it. It's a huge mobile phone penetration, right? I mean, there's a large number of people who have it.
It's not as good as in a lot of neighboring countries, by the way.
Just really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
You see, we have, GSMA says we have 1.5 SIMs to a person.
Okay.
Which means if there are 150 SIMs out there, we have maybe 100 million. 150 million SIMs out there, we have 100 million people who have them. And the density, tele-density comes to roughly about 50%, maybe even less than 50%.
Less than 50? I thought more than 50%.
Yeah, more than 50% is if you count one SIM as one person,
right.
which is not the case.
Okay.
Now, in a place like, in the Gulf states, for example, of course, they've got more money.
What about India?
India is I think they are roughly 60 or 70%. Every regional country is ahead of
Bangladesh.
Us. According to GSMA, we are behind all of them.
Really?
Really.
Okay, so what can be done to improve our tele-density?
We have to make it, especially in case of internet, we have to create awareness, first of all, that what people can do with it. It's not just songs and music. We have to create content for that. We have to hand-hold them, you know. A lot of people will not learn by themselves. They have to be taught. So they have these internet centers in a lot of countries. I've seen in Vietnam, for example, in Myanmar, they have this so-called internet centers where people don't go to use. In the past, they used to go to use in the internet center. Now they just go and learn.
Okay.
Use they do on their own mobile phone.
Okay.
So we have to teach the people, make them aware, and have the proper content which they can find useful. If a tailor finds YouTube useful, he learns it all by himself.
Related to this is the issue, for example, that I find, and we talked about at the conference too. I find all government websites devoid of content and absolutely lifeless.
Pathetic.
Right?
Pathetic.
So, I mean,
yes.
The average citizen has no reason to go to the government website for information.
Yeah.
And I think it would help a lot if everybody got used to, as you said, agriculture ministry, whatever, if they had some information out there that the farmer could pick up or whatever, if the shopkeeper had some information that he could pick up from the Ministry of Commerce or something, people might increase the use of mobile technology. But we don't have that, right?
Yeah, or, unfortunately not. Why not so
that?
Far.
Why is
there
that?
Are some who are doing it. I mean, there is some effort by the private sector.
But why is the government not make an effort to upgrade their... Government should be the leader. They should upgrade their websites.
This is exactly what some people like me are, you know, trying to make the governments understand, even the previous one, that unless we concentrate on the demand side, just supplying internet is not going to work. And people are not going to use it for productivity.
If you were to advise the Ministry of IT,
yes,
what would you say to them should be their policy? They've created, okay, supply side, I take your point, you're saying not as well as others, but still,
progress. There is something, yeah.
On the demand side, what should their policy be?
Okay, first of all, the leadership has to come from the top. And this is also one of the messages which was given in this conference that we were together. The leadership has to come from the top because people are not going to listen to IT ministry alone. So if, and then there are provinces, of course. Now we have another level of problem where you know, education and agriculture and healthcare are devolved. So they have to have their own system where the IT ministry can help others, but they cannot, you know, force them to do it. Right. So it's only the top leadership which can help.
Right.
So they have to, you know, make them sit together, work together, create all this content, create all this knowledge, as which can be understood and which can be consumed by man on the street, not just rural, also in the urban place, cities.
What about mobile? I also find that somehow, maybe, is a mobile payment system adequate or is it lacking? Is Easy Pass, etc., all these? Because I find they still have it, you have to go to the kiosk. It's not.
Yeah, it is called the OTC, the over-the-counter, which is now slowly changing to mobile wallet. Mobile wallet is where you can pay with your mobile. But again, there are hindrances there. There are state bank regulations which have to, sometimes they're too stringent. There are issues of awareness. There are issues of all many-to-many interface, you know. You can... if I have a Mobilink number and I have a Jazz wallet, I can have money in it, but I cannot transfer to anybody. So it should be, you know, this has to be somehow facilitated somewhere in the middle, like the ATM machines. Initially, if you remember, in the ATM machine, you had to go to your bank's ATM machine. You couldn't go to any. Now you can go to any. So unless that comes, this doesn't pick up. But mobile wallet is picking up slowly, at least those people who understand.
For example, in the energy crisis, we hear about this all the time, that people are not paying their bills.
Yeah.
Right? But I find that I can't pay my bill through my mobile phone. It's very difficult to do that, right? I have to first link up with my bank. My bank has to link up with that. I get a physical bill. How come we can't sort out a simple thing like getting, I mean, with this electricity problem, how come the electricity bill doesn't show up on my phone and I simply say pay it and it goes?
Yeah.
I mean, why should the electricity bill come physically to my house and then give me 2 days to pay, and if I don't pay attention, oh my God, it's gone.
This is how it should be, and this is how, I mean, this is the direction we are moving.
How much
towards.
Would it cost to do that, Iftikhar sir?
Actually, the cost is not so much technical.
What is the problem?
Regulation.
What regulation?
Regulation. State Bank, for example, has got very good regulations, very strong regulations. Yeah, the State Bank is a strong regulator, by the way.
No, agree. But
like
if the regulation is stopping the electricity company from collecting, it's useless.
Yeah, but it is. No, it's not stopping as such, but it is making it more difficult, as you said. Yeah.
As an economist, I'd say that's
stopping. But versus, if you want to go on that side, I mean, there you cannot pay the government with mobile. At least there you have a difficulty, but you can do it. If you want to pay your car tax, annual car tax through a mobile, you cannot pay. You have to go and stand in the queue or something.
Even my taxes I can't pay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is something.
I have to do it through a check. Exactly. I can't pay my taxes through mobile technology. I have to pay through this thing. Right?
Yes. Yeah. So that is exactly what it is. That we have to move in that direction. And we have to facilitate. We have to make it easier for people to do it.
I'll tell you, I went to Dubai recently and I was shocked. I kept my credit card in my pocket. But I realized that almost on all shops, I don't think I used my credit card once. Everything was done through Apple Pay. Right? I just put my phone. Everything was done through there. I didn't even use my credit card. Now, here,
the Chinese claim, I have not been there lately, that now, in the cities at least, 95% of all payments are made through mobile.
So
WeChat,
they have this. So we are very far behind.
Exactly.
And you're saying the culprit is the state bank.
I would not say that, because it's not just the state bank. Whatever we have, even that is not being used as much. So we need to create, awareness.
Who do we blame? As a human being, I need to blame somebody.
Okay.
So who do I blame?
Okay. It is not, okay. Then you have to blame the government, because it's not just that regulator, the state bank regulator, but also the telecom regulator. You see, they have to do something as well.
I thought the telecom regulator was very good. We sing praises of them.
They are very good. In fact, they are supposed to be the best in the region.
Right.
It's not that, but they have to come up with more proactive things to do. I mean, there are a lot of other things to do. For example, give licenses to these third party. They are now doing it, of course. It's on the website.
No, but for example, let's say, if you and I develop an app today that allows us to pay our bills.
That's what I was talking about, the third-party service providers.
If we do it,
yeah.
Is it possible?
Yes, it is possible. There are regulations for that now, because earlier on they weren't. There are the regulations that you can, you have to follow those regulations, of course, and you can become a third-party service provider, TPSP as they call it. So third-party service provider, once you become, there are a few already in the market. SimSim is one, for example. Then with the help of that, you can make the payments. So this is coming. I mean, this is, as we speak.
I'll tell you something that I have done on my own. For example, sitting in the US, I have deposited money in people's bank accounts using an app called Zoom, XOM.
Right?
And all it requires, it's very, very simple. All it requires is your account number, let's say, and your bank.
The IBAN
bank
number, for example.
You don't even need the IBAN number. You're even simplifying it. All you need is the name of the bank and your account number. All, if I do that, name of the bank, your account number, I can transfer money to you very easily. And I've done that. You can't transfer large sums, but you can transfer small sums. At $2,000-$3,000, you can. But that's sitting out there, and I'm sure state bank regulations apply to them too. But I can deposit money in a Pakistani bank account anytime I like, right? So I'm saying, if I can do that sitting there, why can't I do that sitting here? What is the problem? Is that a regulation problem?
Or is it
just that we are mental midgets that we can't do it?
No. As far as the internet is concerned, it does not matter where you're sitting. So whatever you can do there, you can do here as well.
But I can't transfer money into your bank account sitting here.
No.
I can do it, but it takes me a long time. It's not as convenient.
If you do Zoom in Pakistan, I don't know whether
Zoom in Pakistan. No.
You can't use?
No.
You have tried?
No, I haven't tried.
I'm not sure. I think you can.
Okay.
If you can, if you do it in one place, you can do it.
Okay.
Okay. So there are, of course, the problem starts when you want to transfer money from Pakistani bank. So because Pakistani bank has to abide by certain regulations, and not the foreign bank. So if you want to take money out of this Pakistani bank to another place, you may have an issue. But otherwise not. But sitting on the internet banking, or nowadays every bank offers internet banking, for example. And if you use that, it should not be, it's not an issue. It works. The only thing what I'm saying is that a lot of people are not even aware of it. It work. Whatever works, and they find it difficult, as you said, when you transfer, when you want to pay the bills, you find it difficult.
The other dimension that I can think of, I think mobile technology now is growing so rapidly, and it's supposed to help you in your life in many different ways. And quite frankly, for example, I play around with it, and I have these little gimmicks, like I can play around my phone in the US and access my mobile cameras and thermostat.
You can do that, yes.
But we can't do that here.
You can. Oh, no. Okay. There's some information missing here. You can do exactly the same here as well. you can monitor, for example, your home in in US, you can monitor from here, from your mobile phone. So that's not it. That's
but will I get the technology to be able to do all that it's capable of doing? Or are there tariffs or something that will prevent me from getting some things? For example, now out there you can get all kinds of things. You can get these bulbs that are mobile connected. Yeah. You can get lamps that are mobile connected.
The so-called smart
the smart home. The smart home gamma. Yes.
You can operate smart home.
We can, no, but can I get them here or not? Because you need those gadgets.
Well, yes.
Now,
okay.
Do we have the gadgets or is the gadgets?
Those gadgets are coming slowly, yes.
Does you the have government to, have a huge
right
tariff
now you
on
have
them?
To look for them, but very soon you'll have them everywhere.
Does the government have a big tariff on them?
The government has, no. As far as I know, they're probably they don't know about them, so they haven't taxed them so far.
Okay.
But they have a tariff on smartphone, for example.
Okay. Now, the other thing that we can use mobile technologies for education. We've got a large education problem.
Exactly.
Why the hell are we not using mobile phones?
Exactly. Now, right. Okay, because for our to educate our people, our boys and girls, we need content and we need local language content.
So why can't we create?
And this content has been created by some people here and there, but you need much more than
government
that.
Government spends billions of rupees in education. I just saw the Punjab budget, I think, is spending something like 300 or 400 billion rupees on education. How much money do they devote to mobile education?
This is exactly my point earlier on, which we're talking about, that we need to put more money in.
Again, Paresh, I have to stop you here.
Yeah.
I need to blame somebody. I'm a human being. I need to blame somebody.
You blame the government then that case.
No.
The provincial governments as well.
Nobody. I mean, that. Are you telling me those education ministry people don't know what mobile education is?
Probably
they don't know what digital education
is. I don't know whether they know it or not, but they're not doing
have
much about it.
Have they not heard of Khan Academy?
They're not doing much about it.
So
Khan Academy is not good for us. I mean, once there was a friend of mine who tried to translate Khan Academy videos and put a dubbing translation in Urdu. And a student got up with the first experiment. He got up and said, "What is a muffin? A muffin kya hota hai?" So, you have to, even translation is, it has to be in our cultural context.
I'm not even so sure we require translation.
What I'm
saying is, quite frankly, I mean, have you heard of this experiment, the Sugata Mitra experiment in India, where the guy put a computer out there and children learned English from there.
Exactly.
So, I think if we just hand Khan Academy to the kids, they'll learn. Besides, I know a company right here, in fact, that company was at your Jazz thing, knowledge platform, right? They did
the one who was
the
using,
yeah,
clickers,
they were using the
yeah,
clicker.
Yeah.
They have developed the content.
Mm.
Now the problem is, again, I want to blame somebody. So the government is so dumb that they don't use things like this. They're still making people sit on tart and write takhti.
Exactly.
Is that what's happening?
Exactly. That's what's happening. Now, not just that. Okay. What the private company has created, I don't know. But the government has to.
I'm not pushing. All I'm saying.
No,
is
I'm saying
there are people who are doing it.
Yeah, what I'm saying is yes, there are other people who are doing. There's one Teli Talim and they're working in KP a lot, and they even actually put scores of the marks and everything on the so even the parents can see and they get an SMS and stuff like that. It's quite fancy thing. But what I'm saying is that you need to do it on a more formal basis. You have to put it in, you make a part of the primary education in the country and secondary education, and you have to move away from this tart and writing to computer-based learning or smartphone-based learning or tablet-based learning.
So that technology exists, people are working at it,
yes,
but we blame our government for not
Keeping
up.
For not moving on to that.
For not saying, okay, we'll take 2% or 5% of a budget devoted to this, right? I think if they did that, we'd have much better education results.
Absolutely.
Than otherwise, right?
Yeah.
Education results will, people
yeah.
will, kids will learn just
but
by
then,
playing.
Yeah.
Right?
But then comes also the other problem. For example, in a, now I moved back to a village, which we started from. A lot of villages don't have this mobile internet.
But that's fine. Doesn't matter.
So they have to know. But when they are downloading a program or when something like that is going on, then they have to have internet.
Fair enough.
And they have to have mobile or whatever internet.
Fair enough. But
yes.
I'm concerned right now that our population is about 70% urban. of that, a large number is illiterate. If we can only get this 70% going, then we can go to the rural areas too. Right now, people in Lahore, Islamabad, Karachi, even though with internet access and everything, they can't do it. Now, the other thing is very important, the price of the stuff. I mean, in Egypt, I remember, I was in Egypt a long time ago, 2002, 2003, or 2004, and there was a prime minister who had an IT background. He did something which was remarkable, which I must say has always stuck in my mind. In those days, we had the internet either through a modem or through, you know, the telephone.
Telephone, yeah, dial-up.
But dial-up internet, yeah. He had made dial-up internet free throughout the country.
Mm.
Said, fine, just do dial-up, or we don't care. Right, I mean, that's, is there a policy that we can follow?
You know that this was done in Pakistan as well.
Okay,
Musharraf, in Musharraf's time, in the early couple of years, this was done that you dial 130 and you're connected to your internet service provider, and that would be a local call for you.
Okay,
so irrespective of where you are in the country,
yeah,
it would be a local call.
Okay.
So that was already done.
My question is: is there something we can do now? For example, if these kids who want to use the internet to learn something, they got a smartphone.
Not much easier. It's
how much does it cost?
You need a smartphone.
No,
and you need a coverage. No,
in terms of recurring costs, I mean, internet service is not cheap. When I use my smartphone, for example, my service is like I think it cost me $100 a gigabyte or something like that, right? How much does it cost?
No, it's not much. It's not much. I don't exactly know the lowest price offered.
But think about it from the point of view of
from the cost point of view, internet is not expensive in Pakistan.
Okay. But for a kid who's probably accessing YouTube to listen to Khan Academy, would it be prohibitive or would it not?
No.
It'd be okay?
It would be okay. But the smartphone is a barrier. There's an entry barrier, you know. You have to have a smartphone or a tablet. So...
So you think Shabazz Sharif would have been better off giving people smartphones rather than computer?
Now, yes. I mean, about 5 years or 10 years ago, 7 years ago, smartphones were not that developed, not that cheap. But now, of course, it's smartphone all the way. Yes. So we have to lower the cost. We have to, you know, even subsidize if we have to in the beginning. On the contrary, what we have done recently is to put some tax on it. Of course, Asad Umar Saab says that we are not taxing the cheapest smartphones, but the higher models. But I think still we need to make all IT products free. By the way, there's an agreement of WTO called ITA, where 82 countries have signed, and there are no tariffs on IT products. Zero. So we are one of those who haven't signed so far.
Tell me, our IT ministry and our IT policy, or the regulator even, would you say they are learning organizations?
In a way, yes, they are. But the technology...
Do they do any research?
The technology is moving so fast.
Do they do any research?
PTA, I know, does some research.
Would they be able to answer questions like the ones I asked you, for example, guys, who do we blame for this? And what's happening on the demand side? What you gave me just now, demand side and supply side. If I went to the IT, the head of the PTA, and asked him these questions, do you think he'd know?
Funnily, there's no head of PTA for the last 1 year now.
Would they have a for the last 1 year?
The last one, he retired in, his project, his tenure ended on November 17th.
So why is the post vacant for a year?
And it hasn't been filled so far.
Why? This is not a priority for the government?
Now there is an advertisement in the press.
Okay.
So probably somebody will be hired. Of course, there are other problems there.
But what are the other problems?
I mean, the salaries that they're offering is, in my opinion, too low for
what
a chairman.
What is the salary they're offering?
It's MP2, I think.
Oh, MP2? Not even MP1?
Yeah.
To the chairman PTA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even MP1 is too less for a professional.
I would agree with you.
I would agree with you. Yeah.
But tell me now, within the PTA or the IT ministry...
Yes, there are people who know well.
Do they have a research department?
Yes, they do.
Would they have numbers?
They even, okay, it was set up by the previous chairman, PTA, not long ago, who is actually involved in the 5G research. So they are at par with what's going on in the...
Okay, that's a good one to take up now.
Yeah.
What does 5G mean?
Okay, 5G is the next generation of...
I know. What does it mean?
Okay, it means you have much more capacity. You can download, upload much more data. You can have much more information. And you can have many more devices. As you said, every bulb, every TV, every radio, every thing has going to have chips. Now, what do you do with that? 4G cannot handle that. So it's going to be very dense and a lot of devices on the network. That is when we start needing.
But is 5G developed yet, or is it still under development?
Okay, 5G is developed, but its standards have to be finalized and defined. You see, once the standards are defined, only then the vendors start manufacturing all over the world. Because if
who
there is
developed
no
5G?
Okay, there are different people developing different parts of 5G, but the main central focus is ITU, International Telecom Union, okay, which is a UN body.
Okay.
So they have a technology wing, they call it ITU-T, and ITU-T is the one which, there is another body, ITU-T is for overall telecom, I must correct myself, for overall telecom, but for mobile there is another body called 3GPP.
But I just read in the US
that
Verizon has already started in a 5G.
Yeah, right? Which is not a standard 5G.
But is 5G coming from the US or is it coming from ITU? Who is the leader in this business?
Okay, first of all, as I said, I correct myself, it's not ITU-T which is involved with 5G. It is more the GPP. But what is happening is that this is one development which is taking place all over the world together. Now, what Verizon has done is, in to get ahead of the competition, they have adopted some of the whatever standards so far, half-cooked, half-baked, were available. So they have done it. So they may have to change later on if the final standards are different, but that is a risk which they have taken.
Okay.
So it is not a standard 5G.
And there's no reason to auction the spectrum like in 3G?
Of course. Okay, in 5G, you need much more spectrum than 4G.
So then Verizon hasn't got anything from
the... No, Verizon has got too much spectrum already. So, okay, another thing, very important. This is something which a lot of people don't understand. You have spectrum from the past, which is supposed to be technology neutral spectrum. So once you have technology neutral spectrum, when the technology goes ahead, you start using that spectrum for the new. So you don't have to buy a new spectrum every time. New spectrum has to be bought in places like ours, where a lot of spectrum, most of the spectrum is held by the government. So when the new technology needs more spectrum, the government says, okay, take this now, fight for it, have an auction. This was happening in Europe and US also, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, but not anymore. So there, people have got spectrum. This migrated from 4G to 5G or 3G to 4G without buying any more spectrum. It's technology neutral.
So, Parvez sir, what you're telling me then is that the government's auctioning policy, which is kind of Shylockian, or what is the term I should use, which is stingy, which wants to maximize revenues, is in a sense standing in the face of innovation and development.
To a large extent, yes, yes.
And that's very short-sighted. You may gain some revenue, but you're short-sighted.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So it will slow down the onset of the 5G.
Yes.
Right?
The 5G is impossible to launch with this spectrum that we have. Okay. Even 4G is getting very difficult.
Right. Yeah.
The more devices come on 4G, the more data starts flowing, and the more crowded the cells are getting with data. And therefore, the quality goes down, the speed goes down. So you need more spectrum.
So, Professor, 5G now, you're telling me 5G is basically being developed by the US?
Well, it's difficult to say, but yes, mostly by US.
Why are we never in innovation? It kind of scares me. We are the fifth largest country in the world.
Yeah.
Have we ever innovated anything?
I guess not.
Right? Isn't that scary? Aren't you worried?
Absolutely. All the time. Not only that, whatever innovation is taking place, that innovation, you need people to implement, So to implement that, what they do is they outsource it. know, they outsource it to countries like Eastern Europe, India.
And we are not even in that picture.
Not even in that picture. Very little, yes, but very, very little.
So basically, we are not in the global innovation chain.
Yeah.
Right? We have bad regulation. We shoot ourselves in the foot. Nobody's thinking. Right? Now, the final question is...
The way you put it, of course, is more drastic than it is. But anyway, please keep going.
It is it? I thought we agreed. The government is to blame for not getting the mobile technology, for not getting education. There's somebody to blame.
That is true.
Right? The government is to blame for not auctioning the spectrum. We are left out of the innovation chain. We are left out. So, fine. Okay, I rest my case. I think it's a pretty pathetic situation, but fine. What about the manpower? Do we have adequate? We have so many universities. Right? But do we have adequate people coming out to serve this mobile technology, to serve the new wave in the telecommunication, to service the 5G, etc.? Do we have adequate number of trained people coming out every year?
Okay. We have so much, or we all had or have so many people that we actually were running the systems in the Gulf also.
Okay.
You know, it's all our people.
No, that's exported. Fair enough.
But okay, so because we don't have much to do here, naturally people leave. Okay, they leave also for money, they leave also for other things, but one of the reasons is that we don't have, because there is not much going on, so there's not enough jobs for them. So if we have this, if we can fix some of these things and things start happening, more spectrum, more optic fiber cables, more content, there will be more jobs for them. So there are people. It's not dearth of people.
Are you then telling me that there is an adequate supply of telecom engineers, internet engineers, or whatever the various skills that are required? There is an adequate supply in this country to be able to support a fast growth path in this area.
Yes,
there is.
There is an adequate. Of course, there are. Other than the big names, there are quality issues with the smaller universities or with the smaller places which need to be fixed. I shouldn't say that everything is perfect, but right now as it is, we have enough people, enough boys and girls coming out, and they can do the job. In fact, they are looking for jobs, so they have to move out.
So that's
or they freelance, by the way. A lot of Pakistan is, you know, one of the fourth largest countries in freelancing market.
Okay, great. Look, I'm very happy to hear that at least one thing is going wrong. But the rest, at least we've got good human capital coming out, good kids coming out. Yes. Freelancing, that's very happy.
Yeah.
But I must say, the dismal side is that we're like getting left behind in everything. We are not a part of the global innovation chain. We are nowhere in terms of our development of the... a sector that we were proud of, we thought we'd done something, and now we're going to be lagging in 5G. We probably will not get the internet, the auction done because Supreme Court will come in or something will happen. So, you know, hey, we are scared. Although, but the good thing, as you said, is which Imran Khan should hear, the Prime Minister, that if he allows this thing to happen properly, it could create the employment that he wants.
Yeah.
Part of the employment could come from here.
Absolutely.
And the second good point is that, hey, this technology is available to help us educate, to help us do many things, and we should now try and use it and get ahead of it, not behind it, get ahead of it. We should, for the sixth generation, we should be part of the innovation chain rather than the part of the receiving chain. So those are all very good things, and thank you, Prasad, for giving us this. But Prasad, my final question that I ask everybody. Do you have a book or a movie or whatever you like, something that you feel is very important that moved you and changed you and that you want the audience here to definitely go and know about it and argue about it and talk about it?
Good question. Well, I might give you a bit unconventional answer.
Go ahead. The more unconventional, the better.
Okay. I have all my life been an electrical engineer, a techie, but I moved a little bit when I came to USF, because then you're talking of bridging the digital divide, providing telecommunication services to the rural folk and all that. So it got me interested that, okay, other than technology, there is something else also. There's a human being also who has to be. So we people, you know, we techies forget that.
Yeah.
So at that time, I read a book, coming to the book, which is a funny book. called Freakonomics.
Okay.
And really, that sort of changed me. I mean, it's, economics is not a subject that you take in FA,
right,
and then come out with it. It is something which touches human lives
in a very direct way.
It's a living subject.
Absolutely.
And it's more important than what I've been doing all my life is technology and all
wonderful,
that.
Wonderful, wonderful recommendation.
So this
you know,
is
as
my
it happened, it's from my university.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is from the University of Chicago where I went to.
Okay.
This guy was, you know.
There are two guys, I think. I don't know.
Dubner and
Levitt.
Dubner and Levitt. Okay, thank you very much, Parisa. This is wonderful. Great conversation. I learned a lot, I must say. I learned a lot. Lots of concepts have been clarified.
Happy.
Thank you. Kyunji, theek tha?
Of course.